Supposed to look back there at somebody.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be saved.
Amen.
Glad to be here at Amazing Grace tonight. I often say I'm glad to be counted among the living, both spiritually and naturally. But even more so spiritually, I'm glad to be counted among the living. I'm going to borrow one of these guitars. I'll ask my wife to come up here. Somebody asked us about singing a song. And you pray for us tonight because we've not sung a lot lately. And I don't know if we can even remember the words to this. My wife said, well, if I forget, you'll have to help me. And I thought, you're asking a sad one to help because my memory's even worse than yours. But I'm glad that someday we're going home after this life's over.
Change this, Mama. I'd like to say I'm thankful to be here. I can't see to read this, and my memory on songs are just seems like just about gone. But I still love him. He's still good.
Amen.
And I'm like the sister back there that just testified. If I started right now naming everything that God, all the goodness that he's placed upon me, I could never, it'd never finish. Because he's been so good to me. You pray for me. I don't know how much of this I will remember. You just pray for me, and I'll sing what I know of it, because like I said, I can't read that. A country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day or night will ever come. It's a city where no storm clouds can forget her. Oh, this is just what heaven needs to be.
One day while I was thinking on unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me, and he filled my heart with love. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they've turned their back on me. But I'll take this gospel trumpet, I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it wherever I go. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Glory to his name. Salvation makes me so happy out on this battle plain. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Amen. I pray all the time, Lord, help me to be what I need to be and not to compromise on this world.
Amen.
And be obedient to him and follow him and be led of the precious Spirit of God. But I appreciate being here. Appreciate Brother Kevin asking us, and appreciate you folks here at Amazing Grace. If you want to turn your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter number 9, and we've got quite a bit of reading to do. Normally, I don't read that much when I get up to preach. It's not a throw-off or anything. Sometimes the Lord just don't have me to read that much, but I do have some tonight, and so you bear with me. Speaking a lot of times ain't the best. I'm glad I was raised before everybody got woke. Amen. I'm glad what time I was raised in. Acts chapter number 9. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man and how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all they that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hast sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for an intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? You can be seated tonight. You pray for just a few minutes. I want to try to preach on this thought for the Lord to help us. I want you to get this closer. You can't see what God won't allow you to see until he's ready for you to see it. And fathers, we bow unto you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight. Lord, you've been so good to us. Done been mentioned in the service about you being good to people. And Lord, I'll tell you, I believe if we all be honest, we'd have to say, God, tonight you've certainly been good to us all. Pray you anoint your word tonight, God. Stir our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we just rejoice in you, because, God, that's the greatest thing there is tonight. A lot of people's hooping, hollering, living it up in the world tonight, God, but we're here to worship you. And may we leave everything else outside tonight, Lord, and get focused on your will and it being done. You can't see what God won't allow you to see until he's ready for you to see it. I thought about Saul here, which we know later on became Paul under that name. But if you remember, even further back earlier in the book of Acts, how wicked that he was. And the Bible said that when Stephen was stoned to death, that Saul was consenting to his death. In other words, he was in agreement with him. He was one wicked man tonight. Amen. I want to say this tonight. We'll just be honest about it. You and I were wicked people before the Lord got a hold of us. Amen. I will praise God tonight for being saved. And so here was Saul, and he had threatened people. He was having people killed. He was doing all kinds of things. And I believe, let me say this tonight, I believe that what he had been taught growing up, I believe that he thought he was doing the right thing. I believe that with everything in me. I believe he thought that he was doing the right thing. Now, some people may say, well, how would he have thought that? Well, how some people think what they're doing today. You take these people that's deceived in the world. I said that this morning in our church. When they're deceived, they believe they're all right. Amen. And you can't argue with them about it. Because they're just deceived, they're blinded in things. And therefore, they'll argue tooth and nail with you. And it's hard to get them to change. But here was Saul at that time. And he was one wicked man having the people of God killed, persecuting them, and having them healed. How about the Bible said here how that he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord struck him down. Amen. I'm glad for the day when the Lord got a hold of me. Amen. I'm glad when he got a hold of you tonight. You may say you don't know me personally. You're right, I don't. I've said this statement before about different things. And I said, you know, sometimes I wonder what may have waited us around the next curve in the road. And before we got there, God just moved it out of the way. And some people have said, well, preacher, you ain't got no proof of that. I said, you're exactly right. I bet you ain't got no proof otherwise. Amen. And so therefore, I'll stick with what I believe. Amen. And so here was Saul, and the Lord struck him down blind. But guess this, and you did too, and I did too. He said, who art thou, Lord? Amen. He knew there was something different about him. I'm glad there's something different about the Lord today. Amen. I'm glad that he redeems people, saves them from a devil's hell. I'm glad he put a shout in us. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside. I'm glad to be born again and going home after this life's over. I say hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad to be saved tonight. That ought to cock our pistol real quick. And that ought to get us to shouting a little bit. Amen. We'd shout if we were down at the ball game. Yeah, we'd shout down at the car races or something other like that. We shout when the kids do good in school. And if the teacher has to get on to them, we'll shout at the teacher. Amen. Every one of us needed a little correction. I'm glad for the correction I got growing up. It wasn't fun at the time, but I tell you, it's a blessing later on in life. And so here was Saul. And he was a wicked rascal. I'm telling you, he was a bad man. But I tell you what, when the Lord got a hold of him, things began to change. I'm glad, you know, I think about this tonight. I've known a lot of people that were into a lot of things and done a lot of bad things and committed a lot of crime and stuff like that. How about when the Lord got a hold of them, it changed their life. Amen. I was listening to an interview of a little old guy in a death row cell. He was a Mexican, I believe he was. I think he went by the name of Carlos, and he said, I'm here for life. He said, I'm in solitary confinement. He said, my daddy was in jail. In prison, and he said, guess what, little Carlos came to prison. My grandpa was in prison and I come to prison. He said, my uncles were in prison and I come to prison. But he said, I met a man in here that changed my life, and he said, bless God, I'm in a little cell, very small, locked up 23 hours a day, but he said, it's become a good place to me. Had to talk to the Lord and worship with the Lord and have a relationship with God. How we are to worship God all the time. Amen. So here was Saul, wicked, rotten, ungodly, headed to a devil's hell, and the Lord got a hold of him. Boy, I tell you what, when God begins to deal, we recognize that there's some things going on. We recognize that there is something real in our lives. And boy, I tell you, let me say this today, nobody here, including me, wanted to get saved till the Lord got a hold of us. We may have thought about it. We may have believed it was true. I always believed there's a heaven. I always believed there's a hell. I was taught that. I believe people was going to heaven. I believe people was going to hell. I was taught that all my life. But I never got sincere about it. It never came real to me until the Lord dealt with my heart. And I realized then it's more real than what this little old mind thought that it was. One lady, I used to work with a lady went to Church of Christ. She said, well, if you believe from the heart and you speak it out with your mind, she said, what is that in your mind? She said, or in your heart, she said, that's your mind. I said, it may be down at your church, but it ain't at mine. Amen. I said, I got something I can feel. Amen. And so Saul had went a long time and done a lot of bad things. But one day the Lord dealt with him. And I'm telling you, when God dealt with him, he began to be troubled. He began to see his way wasn't right. He began to realize that he was on the wrong road. And thank God for the conversion of Saul today. He became a mighty man and a mighty warrior for God. I say praise God tonight for anybody that gets saved. I'm glad for our forefathers that's outstripped us in this life and was saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad for those that may get saved later on in life. I say praise God. It don't matter what their name is. It don't matter what their skin color is. It don't matter where they live. It don't matter what they've done. When they get saved, God makes a new creature out of them. Boy, I'm glad to be a new creature now. Amen. Are you perfect, preacher? No, I'm not. What's inside of me is. This flesh ain't perfect. Every time we sin, guess what? You know whose fault it is? It's ours. It's our flesh. Yeah, it wasn't nobody else. People say, well, the devil made me do that. Oh, no, don't drive off on that now. Devil can't make you do nothing you don't want to do. We got a weak flesh tonight to deal with. And I'm telling you, we live in a messed up generation in this world today, and they believe that everything's okay. Notice how quiet it is when you mention it. And boy, I'm telling you, you can't see what God won't allow you to see until he's ready for you to see it. Now, when you got saved, when you was lost, you couldn't see that God wanted to save you until God began to deal with you. And I'm going to tell you, whether it was morning, noon, or night, whenever you got saved, and I don't know, and it really don't matter. But I'm telling you, that was the best time that ever happened in your life. Amen. No matter what else comes or goes in life, nothing will equal what God done for you at that day. I'm telling you, a lot of people do a lot of things for us. A lot of people help us out along the way. A lot of people have been there for us. How about nobody is there for you like the Lord Jesus Christ did. You've lost loved ones in life. I've lost loved ones in life. And the pain is hard. And after the funeral's over and the days begin to go by, and you miss them and you worry and you cry, and you may have people pray for you and people try to encourage you, and that's all good. But when the comfort comes, it's the Lord that does the comfort tonight. Thank God for that. A few weeks ago, some of you folks was up at our church, and Brother Leonard was up there, and we had prayed for him a lot with that cancer. And I mentioned then, I said, you know what? I said, we prayed a lot. We obeyed the Lord in that. And I'm glad we was obedient. But you know who took care of the cancer? It was the Lord.
Amen.
It wasn't us. Now, I'm glad we prayed, because we should have prayed. So I'm glad for the conversion of Saul. And then I thought about tonight, we ought to look at ourselves individually, because this individual goes out to us. You ought to be glad for your conversion of being born again tonight. You ought to be rejoicing about that. I'm telling you, we live in a society today that's taught us to rejoice in a lot of things, and most places don't teach you to rejoice in the Lord, but that's the greatest thing there is to rejoice in tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else. I think of this sometimes. I think about how good he's been to me. I pray and I say, Lord, I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your protection. For you watching over, for you taking care and you providing. We have prayer at home tonight. And I said, God, I pray you'll bless this home we live in. I pray you'll bless the appliances we have. I pray you bless the automobiles we have. I pray your blessings upon everything we've got, God. And because it's all because of you tonight. It's nothing good that I done. It's nothing good I could do. But God, I see it all coming from you tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
What a joy it is to be saved. Ain't you glad you know him tonight? Yeah. Boy, I'm glad I know him. What a blessing it is tonight. And then I thought about our conversion. And that ought to be personal to you. Like Brother Chris mentioned over here tonight, singing that song. That ought to be something personal for us. I mean, you know what? Nobody else couldn't save you. Nobody, and they might have liked to have been able to, but they couldn't. Nobody else couldn't do that for you. I remember I mentioned earlier about growing up in a different time of what we live in, and my wife was telling me about where she was raised in church, and she said revival would come. And them young people, including her, she said, we dreaded to see some of them elderly ladies coming toward us because we knew they was going to talk to us about the Lord. And people say today, they'll say, oh, don't talk to my kid. It's liable to drive them away. It's liable to hurt them. It's liable to make them mad. I'd rather people get mad and get saved than to die and go to hell, amen. I tell you what we need. We need more conviction. How we need more boldness. How we need more honesty in the Lord. How we need to be power in God's house. I pray the Lord set us on fire,
amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I thought about our conversion. Saul's conversion. Look what he done for the Lord after he got saved. You never know how much you can do for the Lord until you try. Some people said, I ain't able to do anything. How do you know if you don't try? I've heard people say, I can't sing in the choir. I can't sing too good. I said, get on up anyway. There was an elderly lady in our church. She's dead now. She was the oldest church member there. And she sat sort of back this way, like over there. And she sang as the choir sung. And when the choir got through with the song, she was about middle of the third verse. And we just let her sing it out. Amen. That's what we done. We let her sing it out. Why? Somebody may say, well, I'd have stopped that. Why? Let her enjoy the Lord. Let her enjoy the Lord. I was there not long ago, a little girl come up to me about 5-year-old, 4 or 5-year-old. We was getting ready to shake hands. She said, is it all right if I sing? I said, get to it. Amen. Go right ahead. It'll be all right. And so I thought about Saul's conversion, and I thought about our conversion, and then I thought about the falseness in the world today. And I want to say this. I'm glad over the years, Brother Chris, that the Lord has showed me some things that I didn't think a lot about before. And I thought about the falseness that there is in this world today. We live in a fake, woke world today. And about everything's fake anymore. Now, you may say, well, the people's real. I understand that. But you can be real people and still be fake. Amen. Yeah, you be. I heard Nancy Pelosi say that she was a practicing Catholic and prayed every day. Now, I hope that don't ruffle your feathers too bad, but I'm just telling you, I'll just go a step further. You can't be a practicing Catholic and be right with God. Amen, 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 amen. And so I thought about the wokeness in this world today. I thought about the false prophets that we've got. Do you realize that there is a lot of television and preachers today making millions of dollars off of people and preaching a false gospel? I thought about, I heard Brother Osteen say not long ago, the Lord knows how to repay you. God don't have to pay me anything. And I'm telling you, that man preaches a false doctrine and a false gospel, and it's a prosperity gospel, and everybody should be rich, everybody should have this, and everybody should have that. I'm telling you, that's a lie right out of hell. And you better not get hung up on that, or Joyce Meyer, or any of them like that. They'll lead you in the wrong direction. And if you ain't careful, you'll get it caught into that. So I thought about the false preaching we have, the false prophets that we have today. Made millions of dollars, got filthy rich, and people still blinded by that. I thought about the false singing that we have in our world today. People saying they're singing for the Lord, but there's something wrong. And I know this gets to a lot of people, oh, they get aggravated at me about it. But I thought about, do you realize in Southern gospel music today, people have made millions of dollars off of that? Amen. They've got filthy rich off of that. And I can show you, I can prove to you, because I've searched a lot of things out. The Lord showed me some things. A lot of those folks are faking what they do. Amen. They're in it for the money. Amen. They're in it for the money. And you may say, well, how do you know? Well, I know one that a lot of folks follow, and I just seen a thing the other day where his wife started preaching now. Did that hit a sore spot? Now, let me say this. You can't find in the Bible where any woman's supposed to preach. That's no disrespect to you, ladies. I appreciate you tonight, but God didn't call you to preach. And you better be careful who you follow, because they're leading you in some wrong roads. Leading you down some wrong roads. They're fake in a lot of things that they do, and they've made a lot of fortune at it, and we've got consumed by that in this world today. I tell you, some of the best singing you'll ever hear is those people, old-time Christians that are saved by the grace of God and the Spirit of God be upon them, and you have that spirit, that feeling. I remember being in a church service one time. Several people had sung, and they all done a good job, and they knowed music, and I don't know a note of music or nothing. I can't read any music. They all done a good job, and when they got through, I had the pastor before him, the pastor got up to preach. Somebody said, I'd like to hear this brother and his wife sang, and they were old people. They got on up in years, and another older guy got up there with them, and they sung that song, I'll wear a white robe in the glory land. And there's more power in that than there was everybody else who sang. I thought, boy, I'm glad, Lord, someday I'll wear a white robe in the glory land. I'm leaving this rotten world someday. And I'm telling you, this woke generation, these fake people and this fake identity that people's God, how they're going to die and go to hell unless they get saved. And if they get saved, they'll come out of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, God's people tonight, if they're truly close to God, they can't back a lot of things that the world does. You can't support that. And oh, I have people to fall out all the time over that with me. And they'll say, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking. Or you're judging them. You ever heard that? You're judging them. I said, I don't judge nobody. You prove what you are by what you do. I don't judge nobody. Matter of fact, I can't judge nobody. I got a lot to keep up with on my own today. I ain't got time. You ever notice these busybodies that want to know everybody else's business? You know anybody like that? And I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, I don't care if they know mine. I ain't got nothing to hide, but I ain't got time to worry about everybody else's business. I ain't got no desire to. I got enough to keep up with on my own, let alone somebody else. Lord, I write down things I need to remember, and I forget where I put the note and wrote them on. I ain't got time to worry about a lot of other things. I tell you what I need to worry about more than anything, and that's doing what God has me to do. And that's what you need to worry about. But I'm telling you, we live in a time that there's false testimonies today. And I'm telling you, people say, oh, you know, I love the Lord. I know people say, I love the Lord with all my heart, and they never go to church. That's a lie. Amen. I've heard them say, I love my church, and they never go. That's another lie. And I'm trying to do everything the Lord tells me to do. That's another lie. Because the Lord wants you to go. So you catch people in all kinds of lies. Come on, bear with me now. I'm just preaching you the truth. You catch them in all kinds of lies. You catch people saying all kinds of things. And I believe some people say things because it's just handy for them to say. Now, I kid around with your pastor a lot. And I was over here when Brother Randy preached on a Thursday night back in August or whenever it was. And Brother Kevin told me, or he told the church before he left, said, everybody love Brother Randy, say amen. And of course, I kid with him a lot, you know. And I told Kevin out there in his way, I said, when you said that, I said amen, but I didn't say it loud. And of course, I love Brother Randy, but I just like kidding around with him, you know, and that stuff. But I'm telling you tonight, we live in a sad, sad, sad world. And I'm going to warn you about something. You better not get blinded by some things. Because it's going to catch you by surprise. It's going to catch you by surprise. Do a little research. And I can tell you where to find it at. You do a little research and you see what kind of income comes into things.
Yeah.
And you see what kind of things people do. And you say, and you may say, well, I've known them all my life. It don't matter how long you've known them. It matters how long you know the Lord if you're doing what he had you to do. It don't matter how long you've known a lot of people. People can fool you on a lot of things. Do you think, let me say this, do you think the government cares about us? They do it tax time. That's about the only time. Do you think our politicians care about us? No. Well, it even gets quieter when you get on that. I won't preach politics to you because I don't want you to be hurt or offended or something like that. But I'm telling you, do you think they really care about you? No, they don't care about you. I'm telling you, they love that salary they get. They love that power they got. They love that authority they've got. And they like for people to look up to them. Well, let me say this tonight. I hope you don't see me. I hope you see the Lord. I ain't worried about being seen. I'm nothing special. I'm just a vessel for the Lord tonight, trying to do what he'd have me to do. And I preach this way everywhere I go. I preach at our home church or every other church I may go to. Matter of fact, a lot of them I don't get to go to anymore. They stopped that a long time ago. But that's all right. I've got by. And I ain't going to cry over spilt milk. One lady told me, she said, oh, I know a lady don't want to hear you preach. I said, tell her to get back there. The line's long, but it'll be all right. I'm going to keep on preaching anyway. I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about showing the Lord that I love him, and I'm worried about trying to win them that's lost and undone. I tell you what we need tonight, an old-fashioned heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival that lives in our hearts tonight and stirs us up. And so we live in a woke, sick world today. Ungodly place. I'm telling you, if you can find peace in the world, you got a problem with God. Because there's no peace in this world. So I want to encourage you tonight, trust in God and search the Scripture. Now, there's a lot of you young folk here tonight. I want to talk to you just a minute. I encourage you, if you're thinking about getting married or whatever, you make sure you pray to the Lord about that. God sends you the right one. And I've had people say, well, you think they'll be pretty? If God sends them, they will. But don't get too high on that, because you may not be pretty yourself, you know. So don't get too hung up on that. But I'm just saying, you pray and let the Lord send you who He wants you to have. Let the Lord be a part of that. And so I tell you tonight, you can't see what God won't allow you to see until He's ready for you to see it. But He'll be ready for you to see it, or you'll be ready, and God will be ready a lot quicker if you'll trust in Him. And you'll be sincere with Him, and you'll live for Him, and you'll be obedient to Him. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad for what I felt in my heart here tonight. I enjoyed the singing. I enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoy getting to come this way. It's always a blessing from the Lord. And a lot of people look at things and they'll say, well, I didn't really get blessed. Well, you don't look. A lot of people don't even look for blessings. They're thinking that blessings come in some other form or fashion tonight. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be able to be in God's house tonight. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to walk around tonight. It's a blessing to be able to fellowship together tonight. It's a blessing to be able to have the freedom that we've got tonight to worship the Lord. All those things are blessings from God. And you don't never need to take that for granted, because it could be taken away. What if they came in tomorrow and locked all the church house doors and closed them all down? Think about that. Wednesday night rolls along, you ain't got nowhere to go to church. Next weekend rolls around, you got nowhere to go to church. Well, that won't ever happen. Well, I don't know if it will or not. I don't know. But if some of these woke politicians had their way, they'd already do it. Yeah, they despise God and His people. We live in an anti-God world today. You better realize that. Even a lot of people that claim to be for God are anti-God today. And we live in that world, in that realm of bad things today. But it's always a good day in the Lord. Every day is a good day in the Lord, no matter how bad things are. And I know we may suffer, and I know we may hurt on some things, and I know we may realize some things or go through some things. But every day is a good day in the Lord when you begin to realize about it. And I love Him tonight. Now, I want to testify to you just here a minute, and I'm going to soon come to a close. You'll be able to shout then. Amen. But I thought about this as I began to study over this message. And I was raised in a church, a few of you here, I know Melissa and Gabe's here tonight from over at Helenwood. They know where it's at. I know Chris and them knows where it's at. But I was raised at Pine Hill Baptist Church. You've been through there before. You know where it's at. And we had our services on Saturday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. We wasn't Seventh-day Adventists. That's just what I grew up. We had church on Saturday night instead of Sunday night. And so we had preaching on Saturday night. Well, I thank God for the preaching I've raised and under. For the strictness of the Word of God. And I thought about that. And as my life went on, I remember when the Lord began to deal with me to preach. And I remember my mom telling me when I was just a young kid, I used to take a song book and I'd lay it in the windowsill of the house. And she said, you'd be over there trying to preach. And I said, how old was she? She said, about 4 years old. I said, well, what was I preaching? And she said, you was telling them people at church not to go out in the parking lot and steal other people's hubcaps. And I didn't think a lot about it. Of course, a lot of people don't know what a hubcap is anymore. This young generation don't. And I didn't think a lot about it, but one day the Lord called me to preach. And boy, it's been a blessing in my life. And so I got to studying about some things. I grew up, I graduated in 1976. I had all kinds of opportunities in school to drink. I had all kinds of opportunities. The big thing back then was pot. I had all kinds of opportunities to smoke pot, to drink beer, to drink whiskey or whatever. And I want you to know something, the Lord kept me out of all of it. I can proudly say tonight, because of the Lord, I've never tasted beer in my life. I've never smoked pot in my life. I've never drunk whiskey in my life. And I give it all the credit to the Lord tonight. That don't make me better than you. Maybe you've done that and you may say, well, you're saying you're better. No, I'm not better. I'm saying God's better. Amen. It's not what I'd have been into if I hadn't had God. And so I thought about these things as I was studying over this. And then it would go on up to about somewhere along 1978. And like I said, we had church on Saturday nights. And so on Sunday night, I had the opportunity to go to a lot of other churches. A lot of times I'd go visit other churches. And I remember going up to Upper Marsh Creek Baptist Church there in Kentucky a lot of times. And I remember being up there one night, and I noticed this young girl in the choir, and she took my breath away. And we've been married 42 years plus a little bit now, and she still takes my breath away. And I give God all the credit for that. Nobody else can do that except God. And then the Lord called me to preach after we'd been married some time. And I thought, boy, when I started preaching, I thought, you know, I had a lot of preacher friends. And I noticed little by little, Brother Chris, a lot of them started shying away. And they shy away when you begin to preach hard. You begin to preach the truth. But through it all, I say, the Lord has been good. Somebody mentioned, I believe it was Brother Nathaniel mentioned James York here, and I remember my son-in-law Randy, and he's been over here, you know him, and Randy told me one time several years back, he said, I'll tell you somebody you need to get to come to your church and preach. I said, who is it? He said, James York. I said, I ain't never heard of him. He said, well, you need to call him. I said, I ain't got the number. He said, I'll give it to you. He'll give it to me. And I called Brother James. I didn't know him from a man in the moon. Asked if he'd come and preach. He said, I'll be there. It was a cold night in December. I mean, it was cold. And I met him above McDonald's over there in Oaten Island. And he come on up to the church. And I was talking to him. And he preached that night. And I never will forget. He had on a dark blue shirt and a pair of cream-colored pants. And when he got through preaching that night, it looked like he poured water over his head. And he was wet all over. But that wasn't what was impressive more than the spirit that I felt out of that. And ever since that time, I've had a good relationship with Brother James. And he's preached revivals for us, and I've preached a few homecomings over to his church. And I say, Lord, I couldn't have never seen that unless the Lord had allowed me to see that. And I told Brother James, I said, where do you go to church? He said, I go over to Amazing Grace. I said, I preached over there one time, and there used to be Amazing Grace out here on 52. And I said, out there on 52? And he said, no, that's not the right one. And I didn't even know that there was another church called Amazing Grace over here. Had no clue or no idea about none of it. And then Brother Kevin, and I don't know how long I've known Brother Kevin, but I can't even remember where we first met, I'll be honest with you. And I actually heard him preach. I seen it on a video that somebody had taped. He was preaching outside down in Huntsville. And I got the great blessing out of that. But somehow or another we got acquainted, I don't know how it was. And boy, I've been blessed by having him as a friend and listening to him preach and being able to worship with him. And I get to run by the drugstore every now and then, talk to him for a few minutes, and it's been a blessing in my life. Let me say this tonight. Amazing Grace Baptist Church here has been a blessing in my life tonight. You may say, well, I don't like you, preacher. That's all right. You've still been a blessing. Don't try to take that away from me, because I'm going to hold on to it tonight, because it's from God. And I think about how good the Lord has been to me. We've raised 2 daughters. We've got 4 granddaughters. We seen one of them saved not too long ago. That was the oldest one. We got 3 others that we still want to see saved. I ask you to pray for them, that the Lord will save them. But I think about all the things that God has done. I think about the miles that I've drove and he's kept me saved. I think about all the stupid things I've done in young years, amen, that the Lord kept me safe in. I think about all the blessings of God. I think about all the times I felt the presence of God. I think about all the times that you pray, you talk to God, you read the Word of God, and God just begins to speak to you. Boy, I tell you what, if you look back over your life tonight, I believe God will allow you to see some things if you begin to think of all the goodness that God had done for you. I mentioned Brother Leonard here, and Brother Leonard ain't here tonight. He told me when you're to be here. I worked with Brother Leonard for a long time, and I remember praying. I'd say, Lord, that man never going to get right. And I heard later on that he got right, but I wasn't around him then. And the first time I ever got to be in church with him was about 4 years ago right here on a Sunday night. And I thought, what a blessing that was. What a blessing that was. And people say, well, you're looking at everything for blessings because it is blessings. It is blessings. It's a blessing to try to stand here tonight and preach the Word of God. And it's a blessing to feel the precious Spirit of God tonight. And we got up here and sung a while ago, and I've got up to sing before my throat be all messed up or I'd forget the song. And I'd get through a verse and just have to quit on it. And Satan tried to fight me over that. Well, look how you messed up and this and that. I said, Lord, you know I tried. And that's all that matters anyway. That's all that matters anyway. It don't matter how long it was. It don't matter if you preach 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or 30 minutes, as long as you obey the Lord. I tell the church all the time, I say, we're here, how to obey the Lord. I said, if it's 5 minutes, the Lord says, go home, we'll go home. If it's 30 minutes or it's an hour and a half, we'll do whatever the Lord says. But I say, when the Spirit's done, it's time for us to move on somewhere else. I've seen a lot of preachers get up and they'll preach for 35 or 40 minutes and talk for an hour and kill everything they ever preached. I'm glad that I can quit when the Lord says it's done. And probably everybody else is glad too. But ain't you glad you're saved today?
Amen.
Now I want you to think this week about the blessings of God in your life. And if you're bothered by a lot of things in this world or you think you may be hung up on something, you better search it out. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of disappointments. There is a lot of disappointments in life. Someday we're leaving out of here and going on. And someday we're going to a better place. I've never seen heaven with a natural eye. I've read about it in the Word of God. We all have our opinions about it. But I know this one thing. It's got to be better than it is here. It's got to be better than it is here. And those that have outstripped us in this life and gone on to be with the Lord, a lot of them may have had cancer. A lot of them may have had other things. A lot of them may have been involved in a wreck. A lot of things may have happened. May have had a little pain in their body when they died. But when they died, that was over with. They ain't suffering now. Going on to a better place. Well, I tell you what, if we just realized what we got when we got saved, we'd be on shouting around that. If you realize what you got when you got saved, you'd be shouting tonight. You'd be shouting tonight. And I want to share this with you, and I'm going to come to a close. I was watching a video the other day of a local church in our area, and I shared that with our home church this morning, and there's this young boy that goes there, and I don't know, I'm not saying this to be funny or smart, so don't take this the wrong way, but he's got some problems, physical problems. I don't know about his mind, all of it. I just know he don't talk. He uses sign language. And I've seen him on them videos before. And sometimes during church, he'd maybe be up in the car, or he'd walk over here, or he'd go sit down or whatever, you know. And I seen a video the other morning. I was watching it. I'd watched it after they had broadcast it. I heard somebody shouting. And believe me, that church don't have much shouting. And I thought, that's kind of strange what I'm hearing. And I got to looking, it was him. He go, whoo, whoo, whoo. Not once, not twice. He'd done it a lot. And even when he got back to his seat, they didn't show him, but I could hear him. Whoo. And I was talking to a fellow about it, and he said, yeah. He said, his mom said that boy come to her, and he said, I need to talk to the pastor. And so she went with him because she had to do the sign language thing. She had to interpret and tell the pastor what he said. And that boy said, the Lord saved me, and I want to be baptized. And the guy told me, he said, what else you do? I said, put them in the water. That's all you can do. And the good, let me say this, the good thing about it, I don't encourage for people to be deceived, but I encourage this, if you've made a mistake in your salvation, if you're ready to pray, the Lord will let you know. But anyway, that boy joined that church. That's the most shouting I've ever heard in that church before. And I think it's a blessing. I sat there and I listened to him and I thought, what a blessing that is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's a blessing for somebody to be excited about the Lord. And I don't think he can even sing because he never talks. But he's right up there in the choir. He had a choir book and he's looking around at everybody but he's still shouting. I said, what a blessing. Well, praise the Lord. Ain't you glad you're saved today? Amen. I'm glad to know him and the free pardon to see it. I'm glad. I don't know your name personally tonight. Brother Nathaniel, there's a young lady that goes to our church. She said, "You going to Amazing Grace tonight?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "One of my best friends goes there." Told me her name. By the time I got here, I was asking Brother Nathaniel, I said, "You got a daughter named this?" He said, "No, I ain't got one name there." In other words, I had the name wrong. But anyway, she wanted to tell her hi, and I thought, you know, I can't even remember names. So I don't remember your names all the way, but I want you to know I love you tonight. I appreciate you, Pastor. I love you. I appreciate this opportunity, and I say may the Lord bless you. And I encourage you, search out your life. Search out what you're following. Search out what's going on today, because you may be mistaken on some things, and it'll lead you down the wrong road. Better be careful, because Satan's out there deluring everybody he can, little by little by little. And if you've got kids, you've got grandkids, and they're being raised in this world, they're telling about the Lord. Better make sure they go to church. Better tell them they need to be saved. Because I'm telling you, if he gets a hold of them, it's hard to get them out of that mess. And only the Lord can do it. But I'm glad he's still got power. And I'm glad he's still in the saving business. May the Lord bless you tonight. I'm going to stop right there and turn it back over to the brother. I hope, pray the word of God has been a blessing to you tonight.